Let me share with you tonight what the Scripture says here in Hebrews chapter 13. And looking over in verse 19, we'll read there. Verse 19, Hebrews chapter 13. The Bible says, "But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the peace of God that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that good shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Verse 18, there the Bible says, the writer of Hebrews says, "Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly." Then he goes into verse 19. I should have read verse 18, but I didn't. But I want to call your attention to verse number 20. "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus," and then watch what he calls him. Not only does he call him our Lord Jesus, but he calls him that great shepherd of the sheep. I want to focus on that for just a few minutes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the great privilege you've given us to be in your house tonight. Thank you for your love and for your grace and for your mercy. I thank you, Lord, for just the great privilege to be able to call upon you, Lord, in prayer this afternoon. And Lord, thank you for all those that are here and faithful in their place this afternoon here at Midway. I pray for those that's not able to be here tonight. Father, some has been hindered by other means, and some, Lord, sick, not able to be here. And Lord, I just pray for each and every one that's not here, Lord, that you'd comfort them if they're sick, touch them that are, and give the doctors wisdom. Lord, for those that's looking at different ailments and sicknesses and surgeries, and I pray, Father, that you bless those that are here tonight. Help us, Father, I pray, Lord, that we can focus on our great shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ. Let be our focus tonight. I pray, God, you'd speak to every heart. May the Word of God go forth and accomplish your will and find a lodging place in every heart. And I pray, Lord, you'd hide me behind the cross, Lord, tonight. It's not about me, Lord, it's all about you. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, to see you high and lifted up. Lord, I pray that we'd see that tonight, and your will is accomplished, your will is done, and all that's said. In Jesus' loving name we do pray and ask these things. Amen and amen. I was thinking this afternoon on a few thoughts and looking at several passages of Scripture and trying to seek the Lord for direction for tonight. And I couldn't get away from the thought of just bragging on the Lord for a little while. Amen. And there's so much that we leave out of our daily life. And I believe a lot of that is adoration. Adoring our Lord and Savior for what He's done and for who He is. Amen. And so the writer of Hebrews has something to say here when he's penning these words. He calls Him our Lord Jesus. And then he says, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, which was the blood of Jesus Christ, who shed His blood for us. And that everlasting covenant is not the Old Testament covenant, but it's the covenant of the New Testament. Amen. That there never has to be another drop of blood shed for our sins. It's an everlasting covenant. And boy, that's enough right there to stop and shout a while on. Amen. And Brother Terry, you're spot on with that testimony tonight. We don't have to go back and get another dove. We don't have to go get another lamb. We don't have to do that anymore. That's over with. Amen. For that everlasting covenant of the blood of Jesus Christ settled it all. And it's settled. Amen. Jesus said it's finished. Whenever He died on the cross for our sins, it's finished. And so that, I believe that's why the writer of Hebrews, I believe to be the Apostle Paul. There's lots of arguments about that, but I'm not going to argue that. There's several that says it's not Paul, it's someone else. But I'm not going to argue about that. It's not worth arguing over. But I believe the author of the book of Hebrews was God Himself, who breathed on somebody, amen, to pen it down. Man, he penned those words down, and he said He's the Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. And then he says in verse 21, that make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ. And we understand that without Jesus Christ, we're nothing. Amen? And we can't do anything that is well pleasing to God except we do it through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's many times we do things in the energy of the flesh. And I say that tonight with respect to the pulpit. There's times when men get in the pulpit in the energy of the flesh because it's our job. We have to feed the flock. And sometimes I believe that we get to the place where we rely on the flesh a little more than we rely on the shepherd. I can say that tonight here as your pastor because there's many times in the pews we rely on ourselves more than we rely on the shepherd. Y'all can say amen right there. Amen. He's our shepherd, and I believe if we're going to do what is well-pleasing in the sight of God, we'll have to do that through the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. To Him be glory forever and ever. It's all about Him. He gets the glory for what's taking place and what's done. So I was thinking about several things, and I put a few things together. First of all, we notice that Christ spoke of Himself in John chapter 10, verse 14. He spoke of Himself as the good shepherd. Jesus Christ Himself said, "I am the good shepherd." Amen. And He says, "And I know my sheep and am known of mine." Well, I'm telling you, that'll preach for a little while right there. Jesus said, "I'm the good shepherd and I know my sheep. I know what they need. I know their sicknesses. I know their ailments. I know their wanderings." Amen. He says, "I know my sheep. I know what they need." And then He says, "And I'm known of mine." In other words, the sheep know the shepherd. Well, that's good stuff. It's great that the shepherd knows me, but it's even better that I know the shepherd. And I know, according to the Scripture, that if I do anything, I need to do it according to His will. Amen. And I do what I do because He's able to make me perfect in every good work to do His will, working in me that which is well-pleasing is in God's sight, the Father's sight, through Jesus Christ, who is the great shepherd and calls Himself the good shepherd. And I know who He is. He's my shepherd. You know what David said in Psalms 23? David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Matter of fact, David went on to say this. I'll put it down. We don't have to turn there. Psalms 23. David said, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." Now, if you think of that as you read that, "He maketh me lie down in green..." That's not a forceful thing. God doesn't make us do anything. Man has a choice. I was pondering this thought coming over the road. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And then he says that He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And He leadeth me beside the still waters. I was thinking on that word maketh. You can look at that, as I said, you can look at that as being something forceful. But love doesn't have to be forceful. If there's to be obedience, obedience should be because of love. Is everybody with me? If a husband loves a wife and the wife loves the husband, she is obedient to her husband because she loves her husband. And the husband is good to the wife because he loves his wife. She doesn't just do what he says because she's scared of him, because that's forceful. Amen? And whenever there's force involved, there's no love involved. It's done because I have to. Is everybody with me? You understand that? So whenever we think of the Lord, whenever He says, when David says, He maketh me lie down in green pastures, it's not a forceful love because there's no love involved with the forcefulness. God can do whatever God wants to do. Amen? Because He's God. He has all power. Amen? And if God wanted to knock me out and make me lay down in the green grass, He'd knock me out and lay me down in the green grass.
if God wanted to do that, because He has the power to do that. But God doesn't have to use His power to convince me to do something, because I know He loves me and I have seen that love. I've experienced that love. I feel like preaching a little bit now. It's coming on strong. I've experienced the love that God has for me. And I don't have to have Him to force me to do anything. I do what I do because I love Him. Amen. And David says He don't have to knock me out, or He don't have to force me to lay down in the green pasture, but He maketh me. And my mind began to go to those sheep following the shepherd, and they're coming beside the still waters. And David says, He maketh me lie down. You know why the... You know why the shepherd makes the sheep lie down beside the still waters in the green grass? Because the shepherd knows what they need. Amen? The shepherd knows they need to rest. The shepherd knows what's lying up ahead. He knows the hill they're fixing to climb. He knows the valleys they're fixing to go through. He knows the struggles they're fixing to have. And David says the good shepherd, the great shepherd who loves his sheep, he maketh me lie down. That's like telling the kids before they get too rowdy during the day, so you need to lay down and take a nap. Amen. Hey, Mama used to make me lay down and take a nap, boy. Amen. You're going to need it. Amen. And so the shepherd that maketh the sheep, he don't force them to lie down. The shepherd says, there's a spot right here, some green grass, and he stops the sheep and just has them to lay down. It's not forceful. It's not mean. It's not hateful. It's not something that they have to do. But they are obedient because they know the shepherd knows what's ahead. And we need to lie down and just take a little break. David said he maketh me to lie down in the green pastures. And he leadeth me beside the still water. I was thinking about the children of God over there in Egypt. And we, Lord, help me tonight. I'm about to have myself a Baptist hallelujah fit. Well, these are people of God over there in Egypt. And when you think about the people of God, we read the Scripture, we think about the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the sheep know my voice, and I'm known of my sheep, and they hear my voice, and they know me. We think of all the good things about God's people. But you get over in the book of Exodus, when you look at Israel, you don't find God's people up on the mountaintop rejoicing. Amen. You don't find God's people over there in the palaces with all the fine jewels and all the gold and all the splendor, sitting around the table feasting on manna and just eating all the hogs and the deer meat and all the fine things of the kings. You don't find God's people over there. Where you find God's people at, you find them down there in the mud and in the straw and the bondage, amen, of Egypt. And they're beating that mud and they're stomping in the mud and beating that grass. The straw, and then they run out of straw, and then they're cracking the whips, and then they're beating on God's people. That's where you find them at. Amen. Amen. Come on through the Scriptures, and you'll find God's people in different places. And when they come out of bondage and they go into the wilderness and go out into the desert lands, and they begin to cross over the desert lands, and then they begin to murmur and complain to Moses, the man of God that has led them out of bondage. I mean, kicking the pricks, amen. Kicking against the pricks, if you will, as Paul said. Hey, listen, they're mad at the man of God because he's led them out here, and they're hungry and they're thirsty and they're murmuring and complaining about the deliverance of God. Amen. You don't find God's people, listen, you don't find them always rejoicing and sitting on the mountaintops. You find them in bondage. You find them in dire straits. You find them in much needed places. And you find them, as Isaiah said, in the furnace of affliction. That's what we say most of the time. Amen. God's people are normally struggling, and we're fighting a battle, and we're fighting a burden, and we're fighting struggles of life. And Jesus Christ Himself said, I'm the good shepherd. Whoop! And then here we find that the writer of the book of Hebrews calls him the great shepherd of the sheep. Amen? Because he's able to make up the sheep to lie down in green pasture. He's able to anoint their head with oil. Whoop! He's, oh Lord, help me tonight. I don't even know if I can preach this now. My cup was running over. Amen. He anointeth her head with oil whenever that sheep gets out there and gets in the thicket and gets themselves in a mess. Gets an old bruise on the noggin. Amen. Rips that hide open up on the top side. Hey, the good shepherd comes along and he anoints my head with oil. He knows when I'm a hurting. He knows when I'm a sweating. Amen. I've got pain beyond measure. I'm in dire straits. And he anoints my head with oil. He filleth my soul with goodness, and he satisfies my soul. Amen. He gives me everything that I need. And whenever I don't know what tomorrow holds, I know who holds tomorrow. My shepherd is leading me, and if I follow him, he'll never lead me astray. He'll lead me beside the still waters. He'll deliver my soul from the hell, hallelujah, and from evil and everything that comes against me. He's my shepherd. I will fear no evil, and though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Mercy. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff. That goes along with that word maketh. Amen. He don't force me. He don't beat me. He don't demand of me. But that rod and that staff is there to protect me and to help me. Amen. When I'm wandering away from His will as a sheep. Sheep, let me just go ahead and say they're kind of dumb animals. Amen. It ain't no wonder God compared... y'all just bear with me. Ain't no wonder God compared the believer to a shepherd. I mean, to a sheep that needed a shepherd. Because sheep are dumb. God's people ain't the brightest crayolas in the box. Amen? Preacher, you calling me dumb? Nah, I'm calling us all dumb. Why do you say that? Because many times whenever we ought to be following the shepherd, we wander off. And we get away from His direction, we get out of the right path, and when the shepherd is leading the way, the sheep are prone to wander off. And there's times when God's people, I'm telling you, it's unbelievable that God's people will hear a message from the Word of God, and God's man will pour his heart out behind the pulpit, and knowing that God's doing business, and know that they have a need, and God is directing it right to them, letting it right in their lap, and they'll still wander off. So sheep, they will wander off, and the shepherd will go to that sheep. The Scripture says if there's 100 sheep, He'll go for that one sheep. It's amazing sometimes the things that would cause people to wonder. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. I mean, we're warned of those things. But yet sometimes the sheep will begin to look at things and begin to wander off. I picture in my mind when I think of that of a shepherd leading his sheep, I can see a sheep seeing something over here that maybe is greener grass, or maybe it's something shiny, or maybe it looks like it's got a big bloom or something that would be good to eat, and it could be poisonous, but they're going to go try it anyway. It's kind of like God's people. They know God has mentioned so many things in His Word that we're not to participate in. We're not to do those things. yet we'll still find people that will leave the will of God to go please their flesh, get themselves in a mess.
Amen.
And then they, oh, pray for me. Well, you caused it. You did that to yourself. But the thing about that is, it's the good shepherd who loves his sheep and knows his sheep. He knows they're going to do that. That's why he wrote what he wrote in his word.
Amen?
Because he knows we're going to wander off. He knows those things are going to tempt us. And the devil's going to use things to tempt us. And the flesh is going to try to go after things that looks appealing. And the world's going to throw everything at us to get us off track. The scripture said there, David said, thy rod and thy staff. I'm just going to have myself a time and y'all just do what you want to do. Thy rod and thy staff. When I fail, whenever I fall, he don't take that rod to hurt me. He takes that rod and that staff to get a hold of me and pull me back. Son, you're getting out of line. Get back over here. Them old sheep, when they get to wandering off the path and get down in a ditch, you get themselves hung down in there in that ditch, that shepherd will take that staff and he'll reach that hook down there and get a hold of it and pick that thing up out of the mire. He'll get a hold of that sheep and pull him up and then he'll see if there's any wounds. And he'll work that leg and make sure that leg's okay. If that leg's hurt, he'll pick that sheep up and put him on his shoulder. And start to tote him and carry him. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Soak on that for just a minute. Can we just soak on that for just a minute? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I've got myself in a mess, yet my shepherd, he comes along and picks me up. And I mean, I've done hurt myself, I can't even walk. And he's picked me up, and he's cleaned me up, and he's put me on his shoulders, and he's carried me. I should be walking on my own, but I don't have to because he's carrying me. That's comfort of the shepherd. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil and my cup. Yeah, right now it's running over real good. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David said, the Lord, He's my shepherd. And I shall not want. I shall not want. I can't help but think of all the God's people that get themselves in such troubles and messes. We're all guilty. I'm not pointing fingers. I mean, we're all guilty. We find ourselves in a mess. We have want. Because you know what we want? We want to get out of that mess we got ourselves into. He called himself the good shepherd for dying for his sheep. John chapter 10 verse 11. He says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for sheep. Paul said, he's the great shepherd guarding the sheep. Peter saw him as the chief shepherd rewarding his sheep. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. You shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away.
I come back over here to verse 21 of Hebrews. It says, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well pleasing in His sight through Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Ye shall receive a crown of glory. Glory don't belong to me. Glory don't belong to the believer. Glory belongs to Him.
Peter said that shepherd, you're going to receive a crown of glory. Then over there, the Hebrew said that glory belongs to Him. So what's that crown for? It ain't for me. I wandered off the path. I fell in a ditch and broke my leg. I got over there in the mire and had to get cleaned up. I ran my head through the thicket and bruised my noggin and cut myself up and got all kinds of sores. And I was a burden to the shepherd. But He told me, I'd get a crown if I'd just be faithful. If I'd just follow Him all the way to the Father's house, I'd get a crown. So when I get that crown, it's not for me because He gets all the glory. You know what I'm going to do with that crown? I'm going to take it off and hand it to Him. I'm going to cast it at His feet. Because He's the great shepherd. Amen. He's the shepherd of my valley. Amen. He's the great shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He's the rewarding shepherd. And although I've made a mess of things, and I had a hard time because I was foolish as sheep are. You know, they say that sheep don't see very well. They say that at night they have a really hard time getting around because, and that's usually why they don't travel much at night, because they can't see. Does that sound very familiar? Well, a lot of times we don't see because we ain't looking. We have a hard time seeing. I don't see, preacher, what that's got to do. I was talking to a young man today, he's 21 years old. And he told me, he was sitting talking to some friend of his who was into Lutheranism. I thought, what? Lutheranism? Does he make instruments? Or that's what they call someone that makes guitars and mandolins of Luther. He said he's into Lutheranism. He's talking about religion. He's talking about Luther. Lutheranism. So he mentioned that to me. He said he's into Lutheranism. He said, I don't know much about that. I said, well, I can tell you it's a spinoff of Catholicism. He said, I don't know much about that either. I said, I can help you with that. I said, I can explain those religions to you. I said, I've studied religions and I can help you with that. You know what he said to me? Not interested. Not interested. 21 years old. Don't know nothing about Lutheran. Don't know nothing about Catholic. Don't know nothing about Baptist. He was telling me he flies a plane. He said, I was flying over this area down in South Carolina, and he said, or close to South Carolina, he said, and that area down there, he said, on my map, he said, I see a lot of independent Baptists. He said, what's an independent Baptist? I'm glad you asked me. I said, that's what I am, independent Baptist. He said, what does that even mean? I said, that means we're not part of no hierarchy. I said, we're an independent church. I said, we study the Word of God, and we believe the Word of God, and we stand on the Word of God. He kind of looked at me, he said, really? Yeah, really. I don't know where that's going to go, but he has a little interest. He wasn't interested in other stuff until we started talking about them independent Baptists. I said all that to say this. You don't never know the impact that you're going to have on somebody. You never know who's watching you, who's listening to you. And so many people like to play the part of the sheep to to the extreme to where they get so far away from God. And they get themselves in such a mess that no other sheep wants to follow that. Amen? Nobody else wants to be a part of that. Look at that sheep, how nasty they are. They're dirty and muddy and they got thorns all in their hair and their fur or whatever it is. Their coat. They're in a mess. Who wants to be like that? Not very many people. The Good Shepherd is able to give us everything we need and work through us to do what is well pleasing in the sight of the Father. We're headed to the Father's house. Amen. Soon and very soon. I'm going to see you. And every decision that we make is a decision, that, as we've studied in Scripture, it's a decision to exercise our spiritual senses. Is this well-pleasing to the Father? Is this where the Shepherd has led me? Or have I wandered away from the Shepherd? There's so much more I'd love to say. I pray tonight that you can just take a little while and just ponder on the Shepherd. He's the great Shepherd. He's the Shepherd of our soul. He doesn't make us do anything, but He cares for us. He comforts us. There's times whenever it's been said, now I don't know that I really agree with this. I've not found anywhere in Scripture. It's been said before that the shepherd would find the sheep that's wandering astray and he would get a hold of that sheep and break its leg so it wouldn't wander off again. I don't find that in Scripture. Because the shepherd is not going to force the sheep to do anything. Amen? It's not going to force it. So if you break the... I mean, that's abuse. God's not going to do that to us. We suffer on our own when we wander off. You wander off from the shepherd. He don't have to break your leg to get you to stay in the fold. You'll realize after you've been out there a while, I need to get back where I belong. I study about that shepherd that sits at the, they call it the sheepfold, which is usually it's a place in the side of a mountain. They would take those sheep in there at night. Keep them away from the wild animals. They'd put them inside that fold and that shepherd would sit there at the door. You know what Jesus said? He said, I'm the door. Amen. He would sit in that door and he would guard the sheep. If anything come after the sheep, I mean, that shepherd would take care of it. David said he fought the lion and the bear coming into the sheepfold trying to get the sheep. He loves us and He cares for us. He's not going to break our legs or force us to love Him. We love Him, John said, because He first loved us. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, tonight.